Sleigh Bells, a White Christmas prequel starring Brian Kelly as Bob Wallace, David Bukema as Phil Davis, Duck Washington as Knutson, Sir Tim Hellendrung as Chucklebuck, and introducing Rita Borsma, Sulia Altenberg, and Jane Froiland as the Wattislaw sisters. Sleigh Bells, a White Christmas prequel, is brought to you by War Horse Cigarettes. Nee! That's one flavorful puff. And by Buxton's Pie Shops. Gentile or Jew, have we got a pie for you? Tonight's episode, A Sleighing Song Tonight, Part 2.
While Doris lies bleeding out onto a broken chalkboard within the battered schoolroom that sits in the corner of an insignificant French town during quite possibly one of the most important turning points in the Second World War, you're probably wondering, wait, I thought this was supposed to be a comedy. Well, the truth of the matter is, dear listener, I don't believe we promised you anything. But more to the point, in war, there are equal parts laughter and tears, both of which are about as predictable as a sorrowful downpour on a bright summer's day or FDR's expression when he gets Eleanor Roosevelt's dental bill. As a wise man once said, what do you want for nothing, a bowl of soup or a knuckle sandwich? Some may simply go for the soup, and yet there are also those who think, I don't know, when will I get this quality of physical abuse at such low, low prices? Be that as it may, Doris is indeed dying. When she's successfully grappling with reality, her senses are bombarded by a solitary pulsing light bulb above her, defying the fact that electricity has been cut from this region since this war began. Her nostrils are filled with the scent of her own blood, the hot, burnt discharge of recently fired guns, and the sour body odor of one Arnold Chucklebuck, whose proximity to her at this moment is both as comforting as a heavy wool blanket and as off-putting as a heavy wool blanket that's been slept in by a really stinky guy.
Come on, my little snow baby. You can make it through this. Nadia, you can help her, right?
Sure, Chucklebuck. Knutson, can I have a word?
Lead the way.
Where are you guys going? To get a bite?
Yeah, Phil, you mind?
Ooh, you got it, boss. Say, Chucklebuck, maybe hang back with Doris for a bit, huh?
An isolated broom closet, seemingly untouched by the ravages of war, is the meeting room of these two emotionally exhausted warriors.
Ugh, smells like my grandma in here.
I was trying to think of a place that was private, yet small enough so that...
So that Chucklebuck couldn't fit.
So that Chucklebuck... Exactly.
Okay. So?
Look, I'm not going to be able to save my sister with the supplies I've got here.
You're saying we need to take that Nazi stronghold.
Well, that was our mission anyway. It's just gotten a little more urgent.
All right. Who's the team?
I think we both know the answer.
Solo mission.
Yes.
A devil-may-care danger seeker. Someone with guts to spare and more bravery than 1,000 Davids at the feet of Goliath.
Right. So, Chucklebuck?
No, there's no way it would be Chucklebuck. Oh, Chucklebuck.
Woo! Oh, it couldn't be. Because he's terrible. Oh, they're so in love.
Hey, guys. What's going on in here? Jokes?
Sort of. But you kind of had to be here.
I see.
Shouldn't you be checking on Doris?
Oh, right! Doris!
But seriously, who's our team?
Meanwhile, the rest of our players in this dark, sad panoply hunkered down amidst the brittle husk of the French schoolhouse. Some, like Chucklebuck, provide some much-needed serenity to the ailing, while Bob and Phil bolster spirits with tales of daring exploits.
You know who'd be a shiny gold tooth in this old busted set of molars?
What? What are you talking about?
The capper of scrappers, the bringer of humdinger. The hero of the zero.
Bob, either shoot straight or stop talking like that.
You'll have to forgive him, Henny. When he gets excited about something, he starts mouthing off like a screen idol.
Hey now, just trying to spin a yarn here.
Well, spin it or drop the needle. Some of us have a lot going on right now.
All right, sister. No need to toss a gooey persimmons at the milkman.
Are you getting any of this?
Not normally. I just smile and nod.
Oh.
See, I've been thinking about who'd be the glossiest military brass to get our peanut butter out of this ever-loving jam. A rootin', tootin', don't bother salutin' Rasputin' that have no fear while kicking nutsies in the rear.
Did you hear that?
What?
I think Funk just shot Wagnalls.
What we need right here, and certainly now, is one General Thomas F. Waverly.
Of course!
Who's General Waverly?
Who's General Waverly? Did you hear that, Phil? Who's General Waverly? Well, of all the nerve.
I don't know, Bob. Seems like a fair question to me, considering Henny and her fellow Wadislaws had their own, you know, assignments, sewing circles.
Top secret missions.
The things that might not have been under the purview of the Big Cheese.
Well, I hope you got your lunch pail packed, Henny, my dear, because you're about to be schooled in all things Waverly. And it goes a little something like this. Phil?
Oh, well, what do you know? There's a bongo drum over here in this drawer.
When Waverly was born in Vermont town, the doctors and nurses, they all looked down.
Hey, hey.
This baby here that wasn't newly born popped out of his mama with a reveille horn. At 5 years old, he tamed the lion's pride.
Whoosh.
And then by 10, he was surfing the tide.
Whoa.
At 15 years, he hypothesized relativity and aerobicized. 'Cause he's a fighter, less of a wronger than a writer.
A writer!
He put the night in all-nighter.
All-nighter?
He's a wave, an R, and a Lee. So Waverly joined the armed forces, and in basic he was a regular whiz. Arm wrestled and beat the whole Marine Corps. Ate a tank for lunch and he asked for more. Swam the Indian Ocean, broke the speed of light. Made love to his clone during a bullfight.
Ooh.
Traveled back in time and rode a dinosaur. Single-handedly won the Peloponnesian War.
Ooh.
'Cause he's perplexing.
Perplexing.
He puts the vex into vexing.
Vexing.
Phonetically he's circumflexing.
Circumflexing.
He's a wave and R and a Lee.
He's a wave and R and a Lee.
He's a wave and R and a Lee.
Delightful.
Okay, you yobs, listen and listen good. Me and Newton here have a plan to kill two master race birds with one red, white, and blue stone.
And if it's going to work, we need all hands on deck. Are we clear?
Yeah.
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 I don't see why not.
But what about Doris?
I believe that's one of the master race birds they were talking about killing. Isn't that right, Nadia?
Of course I'm in. It's my plan.
Oh, God, no! You can't kill her, you heartless she-beast!
Henny, will you talk some sense into this specimen?
Are you nuts? Of course we're not gonna
kill her. Come on, Chucklebuck. You never heard of a metaphor?
I mean, I knew this war had done some silly stuff to your brains, but how was I supposed to know it had transformed you into a bunch of cold-blooded traitors?
Chucklebuck!
Gasp.
Listen to me. Very carefully. If we charge that bunker, we'll complete our mission and have access to medical supplies. Which means what?
We, save you?
You save me.
Well then, I guess I'm in.
Yeah, you're really not, Chowderhead.
Hey!
You'll stay behind with Doris.
Yay!
As will I.
Yay!
Meanwhile, Henny, Knutson, and Bob will infiltrate the stronghold.
And we embark in 2 minutes. Gear up, monkeys!
Well, gee, Bob, I kind of figured that you and me would be... Oh, I don't know.
Well, you and me would be what?
Oh, you know, going into this together.
Hey, maybe this is a good thing.
You think?
Well, sure. Split up the band for a bit. Go our separate ways. Carve out a little solo career. Realize it wasn't meant to be, and then reform later as sort of a novelty act.
Huh. Not sure I like the sound of that.
Honey, are you kidding me? We'll play cruise ships with other former used-to-bes. Secretly hate each other, yet wield so much clout that we can charge a fortune.
You're not making a lick of sense, Bob.
Well, grab those bongos and let me belt out an earworm to explain. Oh, well, sometimes friends are meant to be. You and me. Up a tree.
Bob, what are you doing?
I was just bumping and bumping.
Pack your gear. We gotta go.
Sorry, Phil, old pal. Late for a date with Brunhilde. Maybe I'll bring you back some sauerbraten. Or one of those big salty pretzels.
That's Bavaria, you lovable lug. Oh, here come the waterworks. I don't want you to go.
What time is it? The old clock on the wall says it's time for another visit from Buxton McAvoy, coming to us from
Buxton's Pie Shop.
Well, hi, folks. Buxton McAvoy here. You know, I've been making pies for as long as I've worn short pants. Yes, I still wear them. And if there's one thing I've learned, it's this. Doesn't matter if it's peacetime or the Kaiser's kicking down your door. Pies are eternal. That's why at Buxton's Pie Shops, we destroy each and every oven with every pie we make. Then we contribute to the war effort by converting our oven scraps into battleships or Gatling guns or whatever crazy killing machines our doughboys use to annihilate our godless foes. So remember, every bite of a Buxton pie is like punching a Nazi square in the eye. Buxton's Pie Shops, Gentile or Jew, we've got a pie for you.
When you feel the steely knives of derision and hatred plunge deep into your gut, lashing out indiscriminately is truly the bee's knees. Alexander the Great said that. Or possibly Fatty Arbuckle. As Henny, Knutson, and Bob find themselves hugging a less fortified side of the cold concrete bunker, it's possible that they're about to find out just what Alexander or Arbuckle meant.
All right. Henny takes out the gunnery ports on this side first, then this side. The pins on the grenades I've planted throughout the ventilation shafts are interwoven within this piano wire. So I'll be pulling this once the charges on the front door go off. Then, Bob, that's when you take down any germs that come barreling out of there. Questions?
Oh, slow down there, cousin. I don't recall signing up to be a hole puncher in a Swiss cheese factory.
Fine. You want to pull the piano wire? Be my guest.
Sounds sweet as a Turkish treat.
Why are you even in this war?
Why, Henny Penny. For the fringe benefits. Oh, the gams of the gals in the USO are the gams of the girls that I love so.
What are you trying to do? Get us all killed?
Well, songs are God's medicine. If God was real.
This is no time for singing, you hear me? No time for singing!
Henny, I take my apologies like I take mistake. In bed, and well done.
Why, you slug wrangler, I ought to...
Quiet, you two. New plan. I'm Jimmy in the lock, and then I'll... Then I'll...
Wow. It's beautiful.
May I have this dance?
Maybe another time. Another place.
If only. You know, this really puts it all in perspective. The war, what we're fighting for, what we're fighting against, and all that bullplop. I mean, listen to those fellas in there. And push comes to shove, they're just like us. Patriotic slobs who got sold a swatch of hot propaganda they thought would make a nice zoot suit or a little something to show off their hourglass figures. Inside of each of them is a heart beating like a bongo in double time and a soul full of love for God and country. Yes, sirree. They're us, all right. And if we march in there and smack them down, well, we're no better than the real villains of this world, like Wall Street, radio drama writers, and that damn Shirley Temple. No, this here Christmas tune is emblematic of the conflict. It proves that maybe we should march in there, but instead of sending them to hell, we should join them in the chorus, because we may be singing different words, but you know what? The song's still the same. Well, I'll be. It's General Waverly.
What's he doing?
I'm guessing it's got something to do with that flamethrower.
Suck on this, ya choir boys!
Gobs of molten lava pours from the charred and war-worn nozzle of Waverly's flamethrower and into the bunker's gunnery ports, immediately delivering scalding judgment to its German occupant.
Oh, fire! Oh, fire! Oh, fire! Oh, no! Oh, fire! Oh,
no! They're still Nazis, you idiot! What are you waiting for? A corsage from Claude?
No, General. You see, we were...
It's my sister. She's in a bad way, and we were just about...
Now, I heard you belly aching. Here, have a box of triage.
Oh, General, what can we ever do?
Just pass a little message to Santa for me. Tell him Waverly says, I'm coming after you for what you did to my mother. Carry on, you dirty hose bags!
And with that, the German bunker explodes as General Waverly lights 12 cigars and puffs them all as he rides atop three white tigers headlong into the 50-foot mushroom cloud.
Ah! My leg!
Meanwhile, back in the battered schoolhouse...
I'm not sure how much longer I can...
Hold on just a little longer, Doris. God darn it all, where can they be?
I think my ears are burning.
Nice callback, Henny.
Come on, Doris, let's get you fixed up.
So, how'd it go, Bob?
Well, Phil, you know what they say. A fight to the death is like a night with a beautiful woman. Stories usually more interesting than the actual deed.
So, dish, Bob, dish.
Sure, Bob, give the people what they want.
Oh, this is gonna be a humdinger.
Boy, oh boy, I cannot wait to hear this.
Now, why bore you with heroic glory when I can regale you with a well-earned Christmas story?
Although no one can see it, Henny slips her hand softly into Knudsen's, and looking around, they can tell it's the first time in a long while that any of them have felt this at ease or felt this sense of communion.
Now this scrappy ball of yarn begins on Christmas Eve. A makeshift stage sits in the middle of rubble that used to be a tiny Italian town. Two soldiers are about to entertain the troops and give them a little taste of home. And the song they kick it all off with goes a little something like this.
This may seem like the end, dear listeners, but we're just getting started. Next time, we'll be going backwards in time to see how we got here. Stay tuned for the next episode of Sleigh Bells, a White Christmas prequel, coming soon.